Good morning, ladies. It is a joy and pleasure to be here this morning. A couple weeks ago, I got a text, or an email, I should say, from Sally Michael, and just asking to get coverage for her today. And truth be told, like, these are huge shoes to fill, and I'm not even going to try to fill them. So what you get from Sally Michael is an author, a curriculum that she has written. Really, truly, what I am blessed is I was blessed to be somebody who taught her curriculum. So what you're going to get from me is practical. And I was talking to my kids and telling them, hey, guess what? They asked me to speak to some women at College Park, and they're like, they're going to give you a microphone? And so I'm going to give you a little precursor before I even get into the housekeeping, and that is that I want you guys to know and understand that my kids bought me two signs, and this is like, you know, they rise and call her blessed, okay? This is what my kids apparently think of me, and the first is that the little sign on our little coffee area says, Lord, keep your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth, all right? So they know that I'm an external processor, which I use that as an excuse to, like I say something, I'm like, oh. So the other sign they purchased for me that sits wisely in our house is, Mom, did you really say that out loud? So I just want you to know, truly, I feel blessed to be here this morning. What you're coming to glean from me, I guess, is the fact that my heart's passion is to teach children about the great grace that God has gifted me, okay? And so I just want you to know and understand that this is not only just for them, it's not a set of rules that we want to go with, but I want them to understand that grace that Elise was talking about this morning, I want them to reap and to glean from that just like we do. And the beautiful thing about God is he speaks to them at the same time that he speaks to us. Okay, so I'm also not good with tchotchkes, and this is a tchotchke that has to run my slides. So I will try really hard to do those things this morning. So we're going to do a little housekeeping, all right? I wanted to let you know that some of the resources, because I'm not an author, I wanted you to be able to go to all the authors that I've read. And I will highly, highly recommend the book, the Give Them Grace, that she talked about this morning. It's a great reminder for us. We want to be extended grace. We need to extend that to our children. So that book that she recommended this morning, I don't have it on the back, but that is a book recommendation I have. So on the back table, there are resource papers that you can go to. There's articles. There's things that I have done to walk my kids through scripture, okay? So that is on the back of the table to my left. To my right is a resource table. And I've tried to, like, keep the resources kind of bleed into one another, but it is for toddlers, for elementary age kids, for teens, and for adults. I'll be honest with you, a lot of the teens could utilize some of the adult resources, and so I do want you to know and understand that we've got some of those resources back there. Some of them are listed on this resource page. I had my husband and I go through some of our library the other night, and he was just pulling, and I was like, honey, I can't bring 150 books to this thing. So, and the other thing was, he would have been here with me today to do our Q&A. One of the only men in the building, but he's attending a family funeral for us today. So I would have loved to have him here because he wraps up what I've started. So anyways, so that's a little bit of housekeeping. So what he wanted me to do is he's given you his email. So mine is at the top, hsweet@yourchurch.com, and his is brad.sweet20@gmail.com. So if you have a question from a man's perspective, my husband has a really great gift of discipling. He's a great mentor. And so he would say when he gets up to speak, he's a little more like President Bush. Like, not a great gifted speaker per se, but he's really good with one-on-one. And so he's the guy you're going to want to ask questions to. You're welcome to email him. All right. I want to open us in prayer. All right. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation on my heart be pleasing to you today. God, we love you and we thank you for the blessing that you created us to be redeemed. God, I thank you that you plan before the beginning of time to send your Son to redeem us and reconcile our relationship with you. Father God, you did not only do that for each and every one of us here today, but you did that for our children. And so, God, we just ask that today we may glean some of your word as you help us to delight in you. God, I thank you for the blessing of being here today. God, I pray that you may be with Sally. I pray that you may be with her daughter. Thank you, God, that Sally is modeling for us a need to run to her child's side. God, thank you for providing for her through Sally today. God, may you give them wisdom and grace and peace through your Spirit today. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you for all you've given us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so I think I've gotten through most of my housekeeping. My intention is to get to a Q&A. When they said only 55 minutes, they said 55 minutes, and I said, only 55 minutes? So I'm going to try really hard to get you guys to lunch today on time, because I don't want to be one of those people that keeps you past lunchtime, and I don't want to be the one that gets you to lunch late. I also am going to try really hard to stick to my notes. I tend to go a little rogue, and so I'm going to try to keep it like Hitch did, keep it right here, keep it right in this place, space right here. So I'm going to try really hard to focus on my notes today. I will stay back here and be available for questions after the session. You guys, I'm just a practical woman just like you. I mean, I have, like she said, I have three kids in college, which means we have no money. We were thinking this was a good idea. No, we weren't thinking at all when they were little. So we had my youngest was born when my oldest was still two, and we have one in the middle. We were outpacing the Duggars. If I would have known that we could have like had a television reality show, you know, I would have kept going. But no, seriously, we had a 21-year-old, a 20-year-old, and an 18-year-old. And so I'm learning like adult parenting now. So some of you ladies who have gone through this and walked through this, I could glean from you if you would throw a session this afternoon on what information you have. But now I feel blessed and gifted. I want to tell you a little bit. We life mapped last week as a staff. Great exercise. We literally took post-it notes and we told each other, our staff and our spouses at College Park Fishers last week, we told our stories. And it was a blessing and a gift to be able to walk through that. And so I'm going to go on a high level because I had 35 minutes just to tell my testimony last week. I don't have all that time. So I want to just tell you who I am. And so who I am is a mother of three children. I was born into a family like they were talking about this morning. I'm born into a family of people who have a legacy for loving Jesus. Okay, I don't remember, I have not found somebody who didn't love Jesus that was in, at least somebody within my family line on my side. My husband was born into a family where he's second generation Christian. So his parents became believers when he was in early elementary school. And what was really awesome is his parents shared the gospel with my husband's grandparents. And so they came to know the Lord, thankfully, praising the Lord that they all are believers in that group. But so that is his background. I was raised in a Christian home. Jessica said this morning, went to church as a child anytime the doors were open. My dad was an elder at the church that we went to. I was from a small town. Loved being able to be there. So I don't remember being a believer, an unbeliever. I don't remember not knowing who Jesus was. Yeah, that would be bad, right? I'm not up here speaking as an unbeliever. Okay, so I don't ever remember not being a believer. I don't remember. I thought that was going to disqualify me as to come to a Baptist church because I thought, I don't have that like life moment where it was like when I was, 20, I didn't have that. I don't remember. And I actually had to really pore over that because as I grew, all right, when I was in fifth grade, and this is tough for me to tell. I don't tell this very often, but it's become part of my testimony. Between fifth grade and 12th grade, I was abused by somebody within the church. Okay? Oh, it's still hard to do that. Not to mention the fact that I'm hormonal right now, and so I'm trying really hard to keep it, to reel it in. I've started sweating profusely up here. It's not because I'm, again, you know, keep the hand over my mouth. So from 5th grade to 12th grade, that happened periodically, so I'm still living life, okay? So, and I was living life, understand, as I still loved the church, but boy, was this confusing. Very, very messy situation. So, and it went on with the fact that I was from a small town, and so I didn't tell people. I told no one that this was going on because I didn't want to. It was my best friend's brother, and he was actually the son of the pastor of our church. So it was just one of those hard situations to walk through. The beautiful thing about that is that I tell you that not because, obviously it affects my life, but I want you to understand and know that. And then I took that, and I became very self, mind you, I'm a Christian in the middle of all of this. I became very much like, I can do this. I got this. I got this quiet part of my life, but I was out, you know, in drama and sports and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't want to take too long doing this, but I'm telling you this. But when I got to college, I went to a Christian college, I became an abuser because I really did not understand and realize that I was trying to take control of my own life. And so I'm the one who started abusing things when I was in school. And God brought me to my knees. And so I am blessed to say today, I am a leader with a limp and holes in my jeans. And I'll be explaining a little bit more of that to you later. But that's where God took me in his journey. And all of that time, I want you to understand, he was faithful. So at that point where I'm at my knees, my junior year of college, my dad had a stroke, and I'm like, I'm going to go home. And really, truly, the stroke part was a blessing because it gave me a reason to say, okay, God, I don't have control over this. And so, like I said, I was at my knees. He brought me home. And it was such a blessing and such a time period of where I was like, thank you for never letting go. My husband uses the example of that God has a string, like we're like a balloon, and he uses a string, and that string got further and further away from him, and he yanked me back. And that's the beautiful piece of growing and knowing that God is in control. He is sovereign. So I say all that to say, along came my husband. And my husband was a gracious, loving man who sought after me and pursued me like God had done. He was a great example for me of that. And so it's been a blessing in my life. So I want you to understand and know this is where my life starts, okay? Now, I'm not even past my first slide, so I'm really in trouble. My focus today is for you women that are in here, moms, grandmothers, anyone who's part of the church who wants to affect this next generation. Okay? The church as it's rising up, and I call them actually the now generation because they're in our church now. We don't want to just make them to be consumers. We want them to be kids that are actively involved in the church. We see them as valuable parts. Okay? There is not one child that's not made in the image of God. I don't care what age they are and what abilities they have. They are all made in God's image. All right. Let's see. We're going to go on. I'm going to tell you now what our goal is for today. We want to make sticky kids and even stickier grandkids. So I'm going to read to you Psalm 1:1-3, and it says, "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams, that bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Don't we all want to be that? Okay, we want to be the one that is walking in the advice and the wisdom of the Lord, and we want our kids to do the same, or you wouldn't be here right now, right? Okay, so the question becomes, how do we do that? Okay, how do we get there? This is the good or bad news, however you want to look at it. Only God can save. We cannot save our kids. That is like the mom's wrenching, heart-wrenching thing piece of all of this, is that God only is the one who saves us, okay? He has to do the work. We step forward in faith. Somebody used to say, I took a step in faith, And then God came to me, and then I realized that he took the step first. He drew us to himself because we wouldn't naturally go there. All right, but you have a shaping influence on your kids. You guys all have a shaping influence on your kids. I'm going to give you two examples from the Bible. I love that she's walking us through and explaining some of these as we walk through Scripture. Noah, okay? Noah was told, right, that he was the only righteous man that was on the earth at one point in time. The only one, okay? The entire earth, they get on a boat, he takes his family with him, okay? They're on this boat, he is told, you're the only guy that's righteous. Matter of fact, mind you, it took him, what, 100 years, I believe it was, to build the boat, hearing all this mocking and all this kind of stuff while he's doing this. That's a step of faith, okay? Not that Noah's to be exalted, but okay, no, here's Noah. And Noah gets off the boat, they praise God, they build an altar, the rainbow comes, all of this happens. Do you know what happened, you guys? Two generations later. So Noah's son has sons, okay? One of which is Mizrah. Mizrah becomes the founder or shaper of the Egyptian culture. Now, what do we know about the Egyptians with the Israelites? Okay? Not good. Okay? What they end up doing, number one, they start to worship not the creator, but creation. As a matter of fact, and I just learned this recently, I love when God's just changing my heart every day. As I was teaching the 10 plagues to the kids, I was telling them, wow, this is so cool to find out that the 10 plagues were directed at the Egyptians because of the gods that they specifically worshiped. So who was one of the last plagues to happen was the darkness to ensue, and that is against the god Ra. So God wanted to show his power over the god that they ultimately worshiped. Okay, that's two generations removed from Noah. I learned this the other day in my Bible study that I'm doing, and that is that another grandson, his name was Canaan, which became the Canaanites. You talk about an ancestry.com, whoa, wait a minute, what? So we find out that our own family, our generation of family members were the Canaanites, who God, by the way, as we're going to read through this passage of Scripture this morning in Deuteronomy, this is who God tells them, you need to rid Canaan of the Canaanites because they're going to draw you to not worship me. And so it blows my mind of the fact that two generations later, the entire earth had been destroyed. There's only one righteous man. God destroyed the entire earth. And two generations later, they don't even know who he is. They're no longer worshiping him. And they raise generations of people who don't believe in God. So that might scare you. Okay, so then you have a guy like Timothy. And I don't know what situation you guys are in here, but what we can tell from Scripture is that there's no man mentioned. So we can surmise that either they are raised by a single mom and grandmother, that he was, or that that man was not influential in their life. I don't know. I truly don't know. I mean, maybe he was, but he's not mentioned in Scripture. Okay, which should tell us a little something about single moms and single grandparents and what you influence you can have on a child's life. That Timothy is the one that they say, don't let anybody look down on your young. Don't let anyone look down on you for your youth. It's just amazing that God utilized kids in the church. Okay? So those are some examples for you. All right. So here's your equation for success, and you all can then leave after this is done, right? Okay. I want to tell you, it's not what you tell your kids. Okay? What you need to understand, it's what you say plus what you do. That is the shaping influence you have on their life. So if you say something and you don't follow it with action, you have just really almost like, if you want to tell it the truth, you've lied to your kids. Okay? Your words, we have to speak, but your words have to be followed up by actions. So if you say you prioritize the church, you need to act on that way. Or if you say that you prioritize your Bible reading and you don't do it, then do understand that your kids will mimic you. So if you wonder why, I've got a woman in my Titus 2 group who was a youth sponsor or a youth leader here. She was employed here at College Park North Indy. And she was saying, she has so many parents that come running to her and say, my son is not following the Lord, fix him. And we say, hold on, you guys, you need to understand that the greatest influence that they have in their life is you as their parents. Okay? So I want you to understand what you say needs to be followed by what you do. If you take nothing else out of this today, that's what I want you to take home. Okay. All right. So how do we do that? How do we have what we say followed by what we do happen? All right, Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So I would dare to tell you, it is not about whether your child is a believer or not. I don't care what age they are. It's not about, for you, it's not about whether they're a believer or not, how you are to speak to them. It is the words that you have on your lips will either do two things. It will make them know who God is, or it will make them grow in who God is. So you're either doing one thing. If you always keep Christ on your lips, you're either evangelizing to them or you're discipling them. And you're walking them through scripture. Okay? Does that make sense? Make sense? Okay. All right. So it begins with God. Like I said, God alone has the power to save you and your children. So let's go to his word. All right, we'll find out what it says in his word. Jeremiah 29:13 is my favorite Bible passage, and it says, if you seek me, you will know me if you search for me with all your heart. God is not playing hide and seek with us. He's not trying to be like ambiguous, like it's like, figure out who I am, try find me. He says, if you seek me, you will know me if you search for me with all your heart. Not because he changes, but he transforms us through his word. So we want to go to it. All right. So this is what it's about, right? This is why we're here this weekend, to delight in the word. Okay, and I'm going to tell you a method on how we do this. All right, so where's my Bible? Here we go. Okay, so I do this with children, with adults. I do this myself. When I go to the word, okay, when I talk to people about this, I say, like, it's great if you have a Bible in your house, but if you never open it, it's literally just a coffee table book that every week you have to dust off, right? Okay? Or every other week, whatever it is that you dust. No judgment on that. okay, so what do we have to do? We need to open it, right? We need to be able to open his word. For the little guys, when I'm talking to them, I tell them, if you can't read it, take it to somebody who can. All right, so that's what we're asking them to do, but just open up the word. Okay, so we're going to open up God's word. We want to know what it says. We want it to change our what we know, where we come from, right? I would ask you, who was one of the most influential, I guess, individuals who walked this earth who knew God's word incredibly well? Paul did, yep. Anyone else? Let me tell you who it is. This usually is a shock value kind of thing. Satan. Okay? Satan took Jesus, when Jesus was in the wilderness, what did Satan use? Tried to tempt Jesus to disobey God, was his own word, his own father's word. So is knowing the word enough? No, right? No, because Satan knows who God is. We certainly are not here to mimic who he is, right? So we want to know his word, but it's got to transform us, okay? We have to understand, when I open it up, I don't care what passage, Psalm 40, when I'm reading through that, I need to know and understand, like Elise said this morning, where do I see the Savior in this? Where do I see that I was created to be redeemed? How does this story play into my life today? Okay, Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. The scriptures give us strength to go on. They cheer us up and give us hope. Everything in the past, this is an old book, okay? But it was written to teach us, to give us hope. Don't we want that? Don't we want our children to have that? It's awesome to have that. All right, so we fit it, okay? Now we know how it applies to me. Okay, now I understand that the stories that she talked about this morning, the story of Noah, how it was a redemption and a rescue. God sent a rescuer. He sent that boat as a symbol of a rescue, just like we need, okay? We know that. Now we have to live it, okay? I wish in a lot of times that God would not have given me a free will. I don't know why he created. I mean, if I were God, I would not have created people that I knew were going to be my enemies, that I would have to give my only child to die for, okay? And I certainly wouldn't have made that group of messy people be the ones through whom I'm supposed to spread the gospel to, right? I mean, I'm an ambassador, a representative of who God is. It just seems crazy to me. But he gave me a free will to say either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. Okay? I have figured out what's in his word. I understand how it hits my heart, but it's got to be an action that comes out of me. Okay? The way that I have it is I've got his head. It's light in the head, heat in the heart. It's action, right? It's got to come out in the way that I serve people, how I treat people, how I see people, how I speak to people. That is how we want that word to come out of us. Not only to those that we see at the grocery store or at the, whatever, throw it out, church, okay? We want that to be in our homes, to our children. We want them to see the love of Christ as it affects us, to them, okay? And then here's the don't forget it part. We are sinners raising sinners, okay? We are sinners raising sinners. I was speaking last month at a Moms Connection group, and I apologize if some of you are in here because I know some of this I already had talked about before. Oh, hello. And one of the things that I was telling them, there was a lady sitting next to me, gracious, beautiful lady that I used to serve under. Her name is Mary Steele. She ran Awana here. And I used to serve under her when we were here. And she had this beautiful story about how her child's 33. And she felt so bad that when he was 3 years old, that she had yelled at him. And tears. She's now 30 years later. She's still crying and has tears about that. And this is one of those moments where my external processing kicks in. And I'm on a panel. Very dangerous. and I tend to get involved in the story that she's telling, and it comes, and they pass the microphone to me. And I said, "Oh man, Mary, I wish I were you. I know too many times that I yelled at my kids. And I was not a representative." Now, see, I'm crying now. See, there you go. I'll tell my kids that. But I said, "Man, I was not as convicted as you were. When you were talking about a story that happened 30 years ago, when I was probably yelling at one of my kids last week." And boy, does it help. We are a reflection of who Christ is in us to our kids. That is what we need to know. And I don't care what age your kids are. I don't care what age your grandparents are. You are a reflection on how you treat your mom and dad is a reflection on how your kids are going to treat their grandparents. By the grace that you've been given, show that forth to others. Okay. Oh, where's my little clicker? So these are the things that I utilize. So let's go to the word. Deuteronomy 6. If you have your Bible, open it up. We're going to go and walk through this. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3. So it's going to begin with God. And this is what he tells his people. "The Lord your God has directed me to teach you his commands, rules, and laws. Obey them in the land you will take over when you go across the Jordan River. Then you, your children, and their children after them will honor the Lord your God as long as you live. Obey all his rules and commands I'm giving you. If you do, you will enjoy long life. Israel, listen to me. Make sure you obey me. Then things will go well with you. The number of your people will increase greatly in a land that has plenty of milk and honey. That's what the Lord, your God of your parents, promised you." All right, so what is the greatest gift that we can give our kids? God, okay? The greatest gift that we can do, he has no disclaimers. There's no little writing on the bottom of here that says, you know, the little lawyer thing of like, but if this is blah, 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 whatever. There's no disclaimers to this. God says, if you follow me, you will be blessed, right? Things are going to go well with you. Now, I want you to understand there's a difference between this and a prosperity gospel. It doesn't say like, okay, the way he blesses us is usually not the way that we want to be blessed. Like we think that, oh, well, that means no trouble will ever come my way. Let's be real. What do we most learn from? What do we most grow from? Our trials, right? Some of them we put ourselves in. So that was me, okay? I was abused and became an abuser, okay? So I had sin inflicted on me, and I then inflicted that on myself and others, okay? Some of it we caused to ourselves, and some of but did he grow me in it? Yes. I only have that to say that when I was in counseling a girl through this, and we were walking through this together. We were walking through. She had been raped on a golf cart path down in Georgia, and we were walking through what had happened to me and what had happened to her. And she utilized the term, "I want this someday to become my testimony of how great our God is, even in the middle of trials." Okay? So I want you to understand, he promises us that if we follow him, things will go well. Things will go well for his glory and our good, okay? Not, like I said, not necessarily the ways that we, but this is the greatest gift that we can give to our own hearts, our marriages, our children, those that we have that are in our sphere of influence, right, is God. So we want it to begin with him. Now, here's the practical part. It also begins with you. Because like I said, you're a shaping influence to your kids and those that you come in contact with. Israel, listen to me. The Lord is our God. The Lord is the one and only God. What does he tell us to do? Like, this is easy, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Okay? So what does that look like? All right. Here's number one. You are an ambassador to your children. You're not an owner. I don't know. I bet I didn't include it back there. I have it on your sheet. There's a great book that our Titus 2 girls are going through called Gospel Parenting. It's Paul David Tripp. And man, don't miss, if you buy that book or if you read that book or whatever, if you get a copy, don't miss the introduction. I think I'm going to call him and tell him you need to move that into the first chapter, because literally the introduction is the whole book. Like, you miss all the rest of it. So what he tells you there is you are an ambassador, not an owner. So how do owners act? Owners take what their kids' accomplishments are, and they take them for themselves. And then here's another way an owner acts. When their kids act up, okay, and hey, we've all been guilty of this, okay? When their kids act up, either if you don't have kids, you're the one looking going, well, look at that lady's got a hot mess going on, or you're looking at them going, why are you demon-possessed? You know, you're the parent looking at this going, how did I get in this situation? I told my husband one time, well, this is when I go rogue. This is when I get in trouble. So, but I told my husband one time, why are our kids so good when they're at home, but they're terrible when we're out? And he goes, because your expectations changed. Ooh. You know, like, yeah, thank you, God, for giving me a godly husband. Yeah, great, you know. You're right, because I all of a sudden, I got this, like, little kids and, like, scroungy little kids, and then I think they're going to be seersucker suit kids when they go out in public, right? No, not happening. All right, so I want you to understand, if you are somebody who acts as an owner, your child will be your entire life. And let me tell you what, your kid will never live up to it. We can't live up to it. If your kid thought, wow, man, this is what you gave me to own me, God, you know, like, really, okay? So I want you to know, and I've acted like this myself. You are an ambassador, what we just talked about. You are a representative of your Father God. He does use you as a shaping influence, but you don't own them. Like I said before, he alone can save them, all right? So what does he want from us? He wants you to be a life giver. You cannot pour out from a dry well. Okay? If you're not in the Word, you can't expect that it's going to exude from your body, okay? Because if you're not in it, how are you going to teach your kids through it? So be first transformed by it. And it doesn't have to look perfect, okay? I can tell you, if I told you the story this way, I could tell you that I shared the gospel with my neighbor, all right? My neighbor came to know the Lord through me. But if I told you the real story, that was that I was at a pool one day, and I was like, oh, I didn't get my Bible study done yet. So I literally gave everything possible. I'd hold myself up in the corner, you know. Like, I didn't want anyone to talk to me, okay? And three of my neighbor ladies came over. This is the Holy Spirit's work on them. Poking at my shoulder. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, haven't I given you every reason to believe that I don't want to talk right now? Okay? And so they came anyways. And they said, Heidi, we want to know what you're doing there. I'm doing my Bible study. Can't you see, ladies? I'm doing my Bible study. I'm trying to get it done, trying to get it over today. And they were like, well, we would like you to lead us through that. None of them were believers. That is like, talk about evangelism, you know. It's like, wow, what a great evangelist I was that day, right? So here we are. It was so amazing, you guys. God raised up two other women to come alongside me. So the three of us ladies had these 17 women in a Bible study in our neighborhood. All because three women, well, number one, all because the Holy Spirit poked at these three women to say, take her out of that corner. Tell her to turn around. Lead them through this. And what a blessing. We're still friends to this day. It's really amazing to walk through that. Be a life giver, okay? You cannot pour out of a dry well. So fill yourself and then fill it into them. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to look perfect, okay? It doesn't have to be like you sit down and you have this 45-minute Bible study with them as you're, you know, you're walking through these things. These things aren't perfect. Okay, be an armor bearer, okay? The word that we always read is helpmeet in the Bible. Helpmeet. I was like, what does that mean? Okay. So we're supposed to be armor bearers. Okay. This is in our marriage relationship. So I want you to understand one thing. I don't want to surmise that, number one, that none of you are in here as a single mom or as a single grandparent. I don't want to believe that. I want you to understand you have value and worth. Remember what I said about Timothy. Okay, so I don't want to say that you're not included in this. Number two, I want to also let you know that if you are in a marriage relationship and you are with an unbelieving husband or a husband that is not taking up the torch to lead your family, okay, that I want you to understand in those two situations, you have to lead your kids or you have to lead your grandkids. Okay? I have the pleasure of being able to be at College Park Fishers. We have a ton of grandparents that literally have picked up their lives and moved from other places in the country to come and live by us because their children are not raising their grandchildren to know the Lord. Oh, I'm already beeping, so that's in trouble. Okay. I'm powering through. And so I want you to know and understand that I don't want you to think you're going to have to take up the torch to be able to lead your children or your grandchildren or those that are in the sphere of influence that you have to know the Lord, okay? If you are in a household with a believing husband, don't make it hard on him, okay? This is our family basket. It literally is. I was going to take the little tabs out to make this look a little prettier, but here, I'll show you. But the reality is, like, this is our life, okay? And so now I do read most of it. This is the Bible I recommend. It's an NIRV because it's a reader's version. So it's written at a third grade reading level. If you have a friend that's a new believer, I highly recommend that you give them either this or the CSB, is Christian Standard Bible. I'm not here to promote, like, I got nothing against the ESV or King James or whatever. I read out of the ESV. But I just want you to know and understand these are reader's version and it's the entire canon. Because I got really frustrated with myself when I would say to kids, hey guys, like, let's go to this passage of scripture. And they're like, well, that's not in my Bible. And I was like, ooh, that's like the wrong message I want to send. So I suggest this NIRV. If the ESV comes out with a reader's version, I'd recommend that. But this is the only one that I know of, besides the CSB, is written very, the language is really good to read through. It's really good for you to be able to describe to the kids. In there, we have our little review cards. Okay, your church has curriculum. It's expensive. We buy that for you guys. If you're in a church and you have curriculum, talk to your children's leader, okay, whoever's leading your kids. Okay, we have a loving, I saw her somewhere back here that's going to be volunteering, leading children's ministry for Pike. I see her over there. and I want you to know and understand, we do this stuff, like it's a joy to our heart to be able to answer, hey, this is how these are the materials and resources we're giving to you as parents to utilize for the church. I find that going over this, a chalkboard or a dry erase board, that's how I learn scripture. I do it now even. I have an app where I use my chalkboard. I write the verse out. I erase a couple words. I go over it over and over again, and I can hide it in my heart. It helps the kids. They learn much quicker than I do, but we still go through that. There's papers in here. This is our missions book that we have through church so that we are able to pray for the people we have. I tell you all this as an armor bearer because not to say that all your husbands work. If you're married in a believing household and your husbands, maybe some of them stay home. But mine works, and he's gone a lot. And so I have the opportunity when he is there to be able to take that. I want to make it easy for him. I used to get frustrated with him, like, aren't you going to lead us? And he's like, I don't know what to look for. Why would I make it hard on him to be able to lead us as a family? So that's our little family basket. It sits by our table. We pull it out, and we're able to walk through it. Okay, so be an armor bearer for him. Don't make it hard. Give him the weapons that your family needs to persevere in this battle that we have for our families. Okay, be a leader with a limp and holes in your knees. So my dear friend, Miss Dorothy is in here. She was asking me, do I have an example for teens or talking to adult children? And I was like, yes. Number one, I want to tell you, give them the gift of going second. Okay? Don't make them have to confess their sin to you if you're not a confessor of your sins to them. Okay? So give them the gift of going second. Lead with a limp. Let them see the transforming grace that God has done in your life. It will transform them to come and confess their sins to you because they know that you're going to be somebody who's going to respond to them in grace if you're somebody who understands the grace that's been extended to you. So lead by example by giving them the gift of going second. And that's true of any discipling relationship. You always think that it's not good to talk first. My suggestion is do that. Lead by saying, this is what I am struggling with right now, okay? And holes in your jeans. I love and delight in the Word. That the Holy Spirit has really gifted me. I love studying God's Word. I'm not quite as good at praying. Prayer is hard for me. I'm a squirrel. I kind of, like, my thoughts go, woo, you know, or I'll be writing my Bible verse down, and all of a sudden I'm writing the grocery list, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, like, come on, Lord, I'm trying really hard here, you know. But we want holes in our jeans. Like I said to you before, only God can save. And so he wants you. He does not call you to a task that he wants you to fail at, but he does want you on your knees. Okay? He's not seeking for you to fail at being a parent or a grandparent or somebody who has this kids in your sphere of influence, but he does want you on your knees. He wants you to know that you need him and you cannot do this without him. All right? Okay. Now I'm going to cut some of this parts out because otherwise I won't get to Q&A. All right. So we find out in here, why do we need to do it? Okay? Because these commandments we want to be written on their heart. When are we to do it? It says on here, anytime. Anytime you have the opportunity. If you're in the grocery store and your kid says to you, where did this lettuce head come from? You don't have to get into a big sermon with them there, okay? Well, you know, you got to be quick. But you can say, isn't God good that every time we come in the grocery store, except when it's snowing here, right, that there's milk and there's bread and God is so good to us. He gives us money to be able to buy these things. He provides for us. Like, utilize any time. That it's on, that you don't have to have, like I said, a big devotional on that. You can just tell them anytime if it's always on your lips. Okay? And where? Anywhere. Okay? Write it on the door frames of your house. Write it on your gates. Okay? Oh, church, may you be the shining light to the kids that we have that we're raising up. To this Generation Z that's coming forward, who is a post-truth culture that is looking for us to say, we have truth, and it's right here. God will not fail you when you're telling people about him. All right, now, how? Okay, he wants us to remember. I want you to know that I talked to one of our pastors about this, and I asked him, Dustin Crow his name is, and I asked him, what things would you want to know as a parent? And he said, I would tell them that you want the Bible to be living and active with your family. So, okay, it's great that we're reading about how God saved the Israelites. But look at how the things that he saved us. Look at how gracious he was, that he brought me together with my husband at a time when I was really low. And he did it at a point in time that was perfectly ordained for that to happen. Okay? We want our kids to know that. We want them to see that the Bible is living and active. It's not just some old book that has history in it, which it is. It is an old book, but it stood the test of time, and it's still affecting our lives today. And the only way that you can talk that way is if you really believe those things, okay? So here's our process. Make time, okay? Here's my big convictional talk for you today. And I was like, oh, this will give me an opportunity. Most households, the women are in control of the calendar. Okay? Correct me if I'm wrong, but most of us are in control of the calendar. Not all of us, okay? But I'm gonna beg to say that probably about 95% of our households, we are social coordinators for our families. Okay? If you don't have time to have time in the Word, if you're not providing for your children to have opportunity to, again, this is what of this, what I say and what I do is reflective. If we don't have that time, if we say God's a priority, and literally we don't put enough time in our calendar for that to happen, okay, we're not making time. We're not going to be successful in that, okay? So let me convict you today that if there's anything that you can do, you can make more time for that to happen. And that takes precedence over, and you can throw anything in there, sports, music, drama, whatever. I mean, you can throw friend time, whatever, even academics, okay? I want you to know that in order for children to delight in the Word, they have to be in the Word, right? You have to have time with them, okay? And I'll be honest with you, you're going to actually enjoy having that time with them when it's not rushed and hurried, okay? So make time. Make available. That's what I was telling you about this family basket. Make it available for ready access so that it's available for you to be able to consume it, okay? Make ready, okay? Hang on, let me see. See how much further I got here. Make time, make ready. We want to be able to have Bible memorization and hymns, if you can, hidden in your heart, okay? Take those times available when you're in the car. Throw on some music or things that they can listen to, that you can listen to. I have a wonderful lady that I know. Her name is Heidi St. John. She's a speaker. And the blessing that she said is, when I'm in a really grouchy mood, I pray praise music and I turn it on full volume. Because we need to recite truth in our minds of who God is, right? So make it ready. Make it teachable, okay? Make it palatable for your kids to be able to consume it, or for those that you have. My recommendation, if you have kids that are in a span of, let's say you've got a sixth grader all the way down to a newborn, okay, or you have a senior in high school all the way down to, I don't know, maybe you do have a newborn then. That's a long span. But if you have that, teach to the highest common denominator, because eventually you're going to get all of them to come through, right? So let it trickle down. So if you have a high schooler and you have a little toddler sitting in the room, teach that high schooler, and that toddler will reap the rewards of you teaching that high schooler with them in present, okay? So make it teachable. Make it real. Show how God is true and living and active in your family. Okay? Like I said, life map with them. Tell them the story of how God transformed your life. We have an I Spy God book. I have it back there. We had one other one, and I lost it. And so this is the one that we didn't use. So don't judge me on that one, because I put it back there. But there's not a whole lot in there. But what we did there was say, how do we spy God in the Sweet family? Where do we see him being living and active in the Sweet family? Okay? So that's a way that you can make it tangible for them. And oh, by the way, isn't that great for the Gateses to be able to pass that down to the next generation to say, how cool is it what God did for us, and now he did it for your parents, and now it's true in this generation? Like, what a blessing to have that, like, have that recorded down. All right. So I wish I would have had more time to read all of this, but Deuteronomy 6, 20 to 25, okay? It tells us that it ends with God. Praise God that it does, because we will fail at this, okay? These are practical steps for you to take to be able to share Christ and how he's affected your life with your kids, but we're going to fail. And so praise God it ends with him. He promises that despite our faithlessness at times, he will always be faithful. Is God a God that always keeps his promises? Yes. What he says he will do, he always does. And so the beauty of that is he says that he will use you, sisters, for his honor and glory and for our good. and he will always be faithful to that. And so what I always tell people is if your kids have big questions like, I don't know, I might love somebody from another, the same sex, okay? We got big questions coming our way, right? I am interested in doing something that you as a parent would not want them to do. My suggestion on that is always take them back to number one, who is God? And whose they are, okay? Do know that. Who is God? So who is he and why is he real and true? Like she just told you about how God approaches women, okay? He loves us. He created us to redeem us. He did not withhold anything from us. He blesses us over and over and over again despite our faithlessness, okay? So who is God? We want to start there. And then we want to say, whose are you? You are one of his children. He created you because he loves you. He created you because he wants what's best for you. So let's go to his word and understand what he wants for you. Because I know what I want for you, but I want you to understand what he wants for you is holy and pure and loving and good. Even at times when I slip into that ownership take place and I say, well, what I want is I want you to look good and I would like you to make our family a good name for our family and I want all these things, right? But ultimately, we want to go back to whose are they? That's where we want to be today. All right, we'll close. I will take some Q&A and then I'll close us in prayer. So we've got a lot less than I had hoped for. And I will try to answer your questions as best as possible. Let's take at least like maybe three or four questions, something like that, within the next 5 minutes, and then I'll close this in prayer. Does anybody have something specific? You mean I covered it all? Yes.
So you asked the question, or you made the statement that you teach to the highest denominator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this might be shock value for you guys. I would say talk about it right then and there, okay? Talk about it right then and there. Again, use wisdom with how you're talking about it in the fact that you don't get into, like, graphic, gory details, right? Okay? But I do suggest that we talk to them because I'm going to tell you, they're talking to your kids way younger. I don't know, Catherine Barabee, she's a woman that goes to our church. She was telling me, I had no idea, I don't watch children's programming anymore. She was telling me that Dora the Explorer, one of them, has homosexuals on the show right now. Well, that's preschoolers. So somebody else is talking to them. So I would tell you in the most loving way, I would still cover it. I would still talk about that. Let's go to what God says about how much he loves us and what his plan is for us. That's where I would start, and I would talk about it. I wouldn't withhold that kind of stuff because, and like I said, I would be wise in how you talk about it, but I would still talk about it. Yeah, does that answer your question? Good. All right. Anyone else? Oh, it's on.
There we go.
I just didn't even hear the question.
Oh, so sorry.
I just wondered if the question could be repeated. Thank you.
Very good. See this? I don't run these very well. So there you go. She was just asking if you have that teaching to the highest common denominator. If you have, you're teaching your like high schooler and they ask you, well, I'm actually attracted to a same sex and you've got a toddler sitting in the room, how are you supposed to handle that? And honestly, a toddler is probably a little different. They probably won't, they'll go up head and play and they won't. You got an elementary school kid and their ears are tapped into that. I would say cover it. Because somebody else is going to cover it for you, okay? I mean, you like I said, it's going to be television. Whether we like it or not, they're on computers. Somebody is going to speak into them, and I'm going to tell you, with living in a post-truth culture, that will tell you that it's probably likely not going to be truth, okay? Yes. And, oh, by the way, we just did a Gen Z talk, and we're learning about the Gen Z. So that's the generation that is college age down to zero, okay? So most of the people we're talking about today, right? And they actually, if they're so post-truth that, no, it's not all bad. They are seeking truth. But what they believe truth is feelings. wow, is that dangerous? Because today my truth may be, if I'm grouchy and I got up early and I didn't sleep very well, now that today is my truth. Tomorrow, that's a whole different truth. Boy, and we're going to have, so we literally have people, and that's why they say, well, he feels like a woman, and therefore, because he feels like a woman, that's truth. That's how they believe in truth. And so that's why I would say, don't tell them what you believe. Lead them to the word, okay? Because let them say, hey, you know, God created us, so let's find out what his intention was for us, okay? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm in the middle of discipling my granddaughter.
Okay.
And
That's awesome. I love to hear when people are discipling their grandkids.
She is 11 years old, and ever since she was old enough to breathe, I have been feeding God's word into her. And I used to see her all the time, but now I only see her like once a week. And her mom and her dad both are completely engrossed in secularism and in the world and don't even apply God's word in any way. So my question is, what's the base or the main thing that I can do to try to keep in her head that God is the right way? Because when I used to see her all the time, she was come to church and she's raising her hand and she's praising God and saying what she's, and now I've been away from her for a year and just see her once a week, and she's like, you know, Grandma, okay, love's okay, but, you know, and the Bible's really boring to read, and I feel I'm losing her, or God's losing her. So what's the main thing that I can do to keep her sort of in focused on the Lord? Or
Again, I would tell you that the best thing that you can do is live it out. So live out, have that always on your lips of when you have those moments and times to be able to talk her through what you're learning in the Word. The beautiful thing about all of that is that God is good in the middle of all of it, and he saves them. So that's hard, but the Holy Spirit works in miraculous ways, and the fact that you're still in her life is a blessing to be able for her to see. And the thing is that what she can see by your words and then through your actions, that she will see that life that's transformed by the power of the gospel. We're told that's how he uses us. So it may not be like this rocket science thing of where it's like, I would not push the fact that, I would be careful on the fact that you wouldn't speak against her parents, which I assume you don't. But I wouldn't speak against them. But it is one of those things where you're continually providing that her to be able to see that, hear it. So walk her through the word when she's with you. But then to have her see it walking out and playing in your life, like, this is how it's changing my life today. Like, I'm learning this, and this is how it's working in my life today. I'm learning about how God is good and how he's shown his goodness to our family today by the fact that I love being with you and you're here with me today. And those things will transform them. And the Spirit works amazingly. Don't give up. Don't give up on her. And honestly, don't give up on her parents, because you can see that my husband is an example of his parents were able to share the gospel with it, his own parents. So don't give up on them. Yeah.